T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
But this is the freezing cold voice of your local announcer, Tom Fitzmaurice. And it's time now for the food show. Every afternoon, we sit down and we talk about nothing but food for a whole 2 hours every weekday. And it's great to be here doing it again, as we have done for 30 years now, and just continue having lots of fun digging into all of the things that you can eat around town, all of the drinks you can drink. It's a great time of year. Everybody in the city is celebrating right now for obvious reasons. But even before the Saints won their most recent game, you felt something. I mean, it was like the way it manifested itself was that the traffic was out of control. And it just told you something, that there's something going on, and we're all happy to be here, and I know I am. And I hope you are, and I'm inviting you to join us for our little broadcast-a-rooney that we do here every day. Here's the concept. It is not something you will ever have run into before if you have lived in other cities or just even passed through them, and you said, gee whiz, I wonder if there's a radio station in this place that has something like what Tom does over there in New Orleans, where they talk about restaurants and cooking and dining out and what's the food of the region and all of that kind of thing. And the answer to that question is, are there such radio stations anywhere else? The answer is no, except maybe a sparse one here or there on a Saturday once a week, you know, or maybe a 2-minute bit every day. But 2-3 hours a day, every day, 7 days a week, that's unheard of anywhere else in the broadcast business. And I'm pleased to be able to say that I'm the host of this thing. And we have a lot of people who also have invested in it, not any money, of course, but just in their time and in their spirit. And we love hearing from you if you have ever in your life. I mean, ever in your life, if you've had a great program, or for that matter, if you've ever had a good meal in your life and you still remember it, you know, it may well still be around, and then somebody will think, you know, I've never heard of that place. And then the next thing you know, this favorite restaurant of yours for the last 20 years is getting a lot of new customers. That's not the main reason we are here. That's one of them. We're here to enjoy ourselves, and that's it. That's the whole crux of. And if you need some crux, we have some of those in the next door over. Our number is 260-6368. Anything on your mind at all about eating, about restaurants, cooking, wine, the whole range of all of it. We always are very much flattered when you call up and you tell us about where you have been eating lately. We never get enough of it. The number here again is 260-6368, 260-6368. Here's one of the oddities of our program. Whenever I get in here, I feel like just, you know, for the sake of continuity or something, I feel like I have to give you some sort of topic to latch your choppers on. And we could get, you know, like start putting together a list of the 10 best restaurants to eat turtle soup or, you know, whatever it is. And I come in here with something like that thought through for a minute and sounds like, a good topic to me. But the fact is that almost nobody ever calls us about whatever it is that I offer as a topic. Which doesn't bother me at all, because our basic rule here is whatever you want to talk about, if it has anything at all to do with eating, drinking, restaurants, cooking at home, that's always open, and we will stop what we were talking about and we will take what you have to say, no problem. We'll demonstrate this by showing you that Billy has been on the green phone for the last couple of minutes. Billy, welcome to the food show.
Hey, Tom.
Hi there.
Two quick questions.
All right. You can make questions if you're in a hurry.
All right, no.
No, okay.
I thought it like Bozo used to make. Yeah. And any good news on Ubik's pie?
Nothing on Ubik's pies. The closest thing to news about that is that the bakery over on Jefferson Highway, not far from Central Avenue, this is one of those things I have a mental block to
remember. Haydell's Bakery.
Who?
Haydell's Bakery.
No. Oh, Haydell's. Yeah, yeah. Well, they have those pies. They call them hand pies because they're really quite a bit bigger than what a Ubik's pie was. And they're also about two or three times as expensive, too. But they do make them in-house.
Yes, they are. And they're not good at all. I don't think them.
So? No? Okay.
No, sir.
Well, that's about the only thing out there that I've seen. And, you know, even there was one other thing that was close to it, but Bud's Broiler used to have those fried pies. You know, they had some odd flavors, too, like peach and, you know, things like that. And I haven't seen those over there in a long time. I don't know if whoever was making them for Bud's lost track of it or something like that. But I'm sorry, I don't know. There is an ongoing trickle of information from the two families, and there's a family, and I don't know enough details to even be talking about this, really, but there's one side of the family, and then there's another side of the family, and one of them has some management types who are pushing it along in this direction, and the other one has the opposite of it. And nothing seems to come out of it. Every now and then I run into some of these people and I ask them, look, everybody talks about this all the time. Please, what are you going to do? Never come up with an answer. So, now what was the other thing? You said something about Bozo's. What are you looking for there?
Hot sausage like Chris used to make.
Like, wait, what was it again?
Hot sausage.
Fried sausage? Is that what you said?
No.
Hot sausage.
H-O-T.
H-O-T, yeah. Well, this wasn't your fault, but we had some funny stuff on the line here. Hot sausage. I don't remember ever having hot sausage over there, and I went there a million times. I think the best.
You never had a hot sausage sandwich from Bozo's?
Never.
I'd remember it.
I'd remember it, too, because that's something like red beans and rice with hot sausage. That's the ultimate combination, in my opinion.
He made them like hamburger patties.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, yeah, it's coming back to me. That's right. I have had that. I take it back. And that's exactly what people would do. They would make a half and half. One patty was the hot sausage. The other one was a regular hamburger. And they mix them together, and away you go. But have you tried going over to Mr. Ed's?
Because
he picked up just about everything that used to be on the menu over there. If you go to where Bozo's used to be, that same location, it's Mr. Ed's Oyster Bar and Fish Grill. And he now has five or six locations around town. He's really been aggressive about it. Bozo sold the restaurant to him because Mr. Ed McIntyre is his name. He used to be a regular customer at Bozo's to the point of having started that when he was a little boy. So Chris felt good about giving the restaurant to him, and he's done, I think, a very good job. And I'll bet you they have that hot sausage over there.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate
you
taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
All right.
See you. It's the food show. 260-6368. 260-6368. And joining us over here on the green phone again, twice in a row, Clyde, welcome.
Hey, Tom.
Hi there.
I got a question.
Ask me.
Hey, you know, cooking with a frying pan. Let's talk about frying pans. You want to?
Sure,
so
why not?
So cast iron versus stainless steel versus Teflon coated.
Yeah.
I know you hate Teflon coated. Okay, I got that.
Well, before we just walk away from it, I think there is one kind of cookery that really screams out for any of those nonstick surfaces, and that's when you're cooking eggs. And you're cooking eggs, the nonstick is the way to go. It just gets the job done much more efficiently, and you don't have any burned areas and runny areas at the same time. So that's the way to go.
Okay.
All right. Pick up where you left off.
But when do you choose between a stainless steel frying pan and a cast iron? What do you use the most?
We use everything about equally. I was just thinking about that the other day when I was washing the dishes. Here's the story. It's all about how quickly the heat can be installed into a piece of kitchenware, cookware.
Yeah.
Thank you. And some of them take a long time, and cast iron is one of them. It takes a long time to heat up completely. But when you turn the fire off, or you remove it from the burner, it also takes a long time to cool off. Now, you have to manipulate with that. Depends on what you're trying to cook. If you use an aluminum skillet, what you find is that it heats up very quickly, but as soon as you take it off the burner, it is not room temperature, but it comes down very quickly. Now, that might come in handy for you, whereas the cast iron might not. I think of cast iron as something you would cook a steak in. You would sear it on one side, turn it over.
Really?
Oh yeah.
See, I thought stainless steel would be better for searing.
Stainless steel is another story entirely. It's basically the same thing that cast iron is made out of. It's iron. But it's much thinner, as you know. In a cast iron skillet, you can bat somebody over the head and kill them with it, but I don't think you could do that.
I seared a steak last night, and I couldn't choose between cast iron or steel, and I'm going, the only time I've ever watched anybody on YouTube sear a steak was using either aluminum or steel. I've never seen anybody use cast iron, but I'll try it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It comes out pretty good, but you have to be ready to take the steak off of the burner when you detect that it is finished, and then stay away from it here's the way I do it. Steaks for me are a two-step process. The first time you get going in there, you have it in a cast iron is fine. The stainless steel would also be good. But the cast iron, it has the benefit of keeping that hot heat going even after you take it off the stove. And what you want to do with a steak is sear it on the top and the bottom, and then you take it out of the skillet and put it into a different skillet and go into the oven to finish cooking at about 325, 350. And then
I took it out and put it on a plate.
You could do that.
It was heated. It was a heated plate.
Uh-huh.
So, but anyway, I've never done cast iron.
I'd call
you today and say, hey, what do you think? I mean,
there you go.
A lot of people say you sear that steak until it releases. Don't even touch it until it releases from the bottom.
Oh, that is absolutely true. Yeah.
That is true.
That is absolutely true. It is very slow to cool off. It's also very slow to heat up. But that's what you want when you're trying to put a little crust on the outside of something. Blackened anything. You're talking about a black iron skillet. Totally. From front to back.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's I'll try it.
That's a great question. We used to talk about that all the time over here, and then I figured that everybody had it figured out by now.
Well, and then we cooked some cornbread, and we cooked it in the iron, skillet, and it turned out great.
They pretty much make that ingredient batch so it would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
all
that's
right.
The way to go. Well, thank you. Good question. Nice hearing from you.
All right.
I'll bet you have a good question. Call me up and tell me what your question is. Or give me an answer. If you, you know, you can give me an answer before anybody knows the question. That's kind of fun, actually. So give me an answer. Why not? About what? About anything. Just call us. 260-6368. Hello there. Welcome back. It's The Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice, and it's fun to be here with you talking about eating. We do that every day, so you're always welcome to waste your time on just talking to us about anything. You don't have to put any thought into it at all, really, because it's from the heart anyway. We're talking about enjoyment from the heart. Over here on the blue phone is Steve. Steve, welcome.
Man, your call screener is amazing.
Isn't he, though?
Yeah, he really is. I called up and he asked my name and I said Jennifer, and he knew right away it was me.
Well, I guess.
He's something, I tell you. I'm not sure what.
I'll tell you what it is. He's been in radio a really long time, and that'll do it to just about anybody.
So he's like real old?
I wouldn't say he's real old. He's just. What'd you say? Marconi is his father, he just said. You know, that guy Marconi must have been really great to meet. You know what I'd like to do with Marconi, if he were still alive? I would take him out for some spaghetti and meatballs.
There you go.
Get it?
There you go.
Get it, Marconi?
Yeah.
It's one letter away from being macaroni.
Yeah, that's clever, Tom.
Not. I didn't say they were going to be brilliant. Everything I say is brilliant. I don't say that.
We're not counting on that.
No, I guess not. Yeah.
Okay, Mandeville Bakery makes very good hand pies.
Oh, that's good to know. What size are they compared with Hubig's pie?
They're substantially bigger, but, I mean, they're probably 6 inches by 2 inches, maybe 3 inches, and, you know, inch thick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they are outstanding. The problem is, I think they only make them on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Uh-huh. And if you don't get there by about 1 or 2, they ain't got no more.
Mm. That's a great old style bakery.
It really is.
For those who are going in there looking for French pastries and all of that, you know, croquettes, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
Wrong place. But if what you're interested in is donuts, king cakes.
Their apple fritter is fantastic. Yeah. Fry pan.
For those, before you get over, let me finish this off. It's on Florida Street, which is the main east-west drag through Mandeville, the old part of Mandeville. And it is it's one block away from Coffee Street. I remember that. But you'll see it. There's a gigantic cow. In the same parking lot. I mean, literally, and it's a big rendering of a cow. That's what I was trying to say.
Big statue.
Big old cow there. Or is it a bull?
That's at Sire's Meat Market.
Yeah.
Right there.
Great place to go.
Okay, but the frying pans, my wife laughs at me because I bought...
My wife laughs at me, too.
Yeah, well... My wife laughs at me about a lot of things.
well, what else is new on that
one? I bought the red copper skillets off the TV.
Yeah.
I really like them.
Oh, yeah? What's so good about them? I have no idea, but I'm just asking.
They're just, they're a lot easier to take care of than the Teflon. You don't have to worry about scratching them. Then I saw the granite-coated ones. I bought that. I like it better than the red copper.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Granite?
I really do. Huh?
Granite?
It's a regular aluminum skillet, and it's got, you know, the pulverized granite and coated with that on the inside. Hmm. It is amazing. Then I saw the diamond one, and I backed out. My wife said, "You're not going to get that, too?" but they've got the diamond coated ones now. It's amazing. I bought the granite covered one, and it was $19.95. And for another $4, you got another one. You got two 10-inch skillets, and I gave one to a buddy of mine. And they're just the granite. I haven't done anything other than dump out what I cooked in it and wipe it out with a sponge. And I've been using it for 6-8 months. and that's so far my favorite. We use an iron one for making cornbread, of course.
Mm-hmm. Where did you buy this?
Off the TV.
Oh, that's right. You told me that. Yeah.
You know, and I'm very impressed with this granite skillet. I've still got my red copper one that if I need a second skillet, but it's a 10-inch, and I'm kind of surprised at how cheap they are. And, you know, it was like I said, I got a second one for $4, so it was like $12 a piece for these, and I used the heck out of it.
Well, that's good to know. I've never even heard of them before, but as you may have heard, I don't watch TV very much.
Yeah, exactly. So, but if the red copper is very good. I've got a larger pot. It's like a 5-quart pot made out of the red copper coating, and it cleans real easy also. But we used to have a big old iron pot, and they're just too hard to take care of.
That's true.
They're fantastic, but they're hard to take care of.
Yeah.
And I don't see that they're any better. You know, those days are gone.
Well, a lot of days are gone. Like there was yesterday. Oh, how we enjoyed it, but it's gone now. And then the day before yesterday.
Have you seen the lineup for Jazz Fest yet?
No, but I hear that it is the Rolling Stones are coming.
It's unbelievable. Way
Isn't
more
it?
Than just the Rolling Stones. It is going to be a spectacular year at the Jazz Fest.
The Beatles?
No.
Only
half of them can show up.
Yeah.
So, all right. Talk
well,
to you later.
My pleasure. See ya. We go from Steve to Steven. Busy day today.
Hello
there. Welcome.
Hello. The Winn-Dixie and I think Robert's carry a product called J&J Pies, which are very much like the Hubig Pies. They're made in upstate New York, but they're really good, and I think they sell them like on sale for two for a dollar.
Really?
So they're
That's
in the
almost
price
free.
Range. Yeah, and they have 4 or 5 different flavors.
Huh.
And they're really pretty. They're as close to Hubig Pies as I've found anybody. It's called J&J. They come in a little box instead of a little wax paper bag.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But they've had to come from New York State, so, you know, they handle better in a box rather than the wax
paper. I wonder if they came down frozen. I don't know what. They're already cooked. Well, you
They're
can still freeze cooked. Them after that.
Yeah, you can freeze them. And, they have such sometimes. So I think normally they're about almost a dollar, but then they sell them, Winn-Dixie and Robert's, will put them on on the middle aisle as you go into the cash registers, and they're 50 cents a piece.
Really? That would have been very inexpensive even by Hubig standards, which I remember. Yeah. Last time I saw one with a price, it was $89.95.
Mm-hmm.
It was 85, just a plain 85.
Yeah.
And tasted the same, but we haven't seen that in a while, and I wonder if. It's interesting to me that there's so much interest in this, and everybody's different, but I never could warm up to those things. I used to work in a grocery store where we sold the daylights out of them every single day, and they would be delivered straight from the place where they made them, and they would drop them off. They would put them in the freezer, in fact, outside. Mm-hmm. And we would pick it up in the morning. It wouldn't have enough time to freeze. It would just, And I figured, okay, this is coming straight out of the bakery. It ought to be as good as it can get. But even at that point, I just never thought they were all that great.
Yeah, and let me tell you, I had a friend that owned a house directly across the street from Hubig Pies, and he had a swimming pool, and he used to invite a lot of us over. But when they were making that place stunk terrible. I mean, I don't know why we were all dealing with sweets, so why it wouldn't smell sweet like a bakery would.
Well, when you have a lot of oil going on. That usually explains that, and there's nothing much you could do about that. I mean, restaurants that have a lot of seafood in them, fried seafood, I wouldn't want to live next door to one of those either.
Or a barbecue.
Yeah. Or a barbecue, yeah. Although barbecue, I think I'd like a little better. Although the best of all is to have a bakery of bread. Bread is the most wonderful aroma. While it's baking, it's the most wonderful aroma.
And you and Mary Ann are great people, too.
We fooled you as well, huh? That's another one. All right.
I mean, I thought that's why you had a weight problem or a fat one in the past. You like to eat bread.
What? Wait, you're fuzzing out on me here.
I thought that was the reason you had a little bit of a weight problem is because you like to eat bread.
Oh, that is true. And she believes that as well. She never touches bread anymore. And I can't help but touch them. I love a good bread. It's hard to stop eating them, but it's probably a good thing to stop eating.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks for everything. Okay. It's the Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice, and it's fun to be here every day talking about eating and drinking and such. Boy, busy show today, just for a Tuesday, or any other day for that matter. We'll be back with more of it in a moment. Hello there. Welcome back. It's the Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice, and it's great to be with you talking about food and restaurants and stuff. We have had a busy first part of the program. It's very surprising and very good. Always nice hearing from more people, the merrier. I'd love to hear from you. And you know what's going on lately? Just as I move around and, you know, go to restaurants and go to supermarkets and go to the place that changes your oil and all those places, I'm always run into people who decide they know that we do this program every day, and I get to talking with them. And it's been a lot of fun. We've had a lot of new listeners as a result of that. There was one lady who came over to the table where I was sitting at Porter and Luke last week, and she wanted to know about the cruise that we are doing to Alaska this coming June. And I got to talking with her, and I have a pretty good feeling that she and her husband are going to be on that cruise. We have a fair number of people already. If you'd like to join us, here's the way these go down. The Eat Club is very loose, and it's open to everybody. And what I do is we have a table, probably more than one, and you're invited to join me at that table every night. I'm going to be at that table every night. And we get to shoot the breeze with one another. And if you don't, you know, like that dining room, I don't imagine how you could not like the dining room. This is one of the most beautiful ships in the world. It's the Queen Elizabeth, no less. So you get a table there. And if this night you decide, you know, in other parts of the same ship, they have specialty restaurants like a steakhouse. They'll have a French restaurant. They'll have an Italian restaurant and a few more. And if you'd rather do that than in the main dining room, well, go ahead. Or if you want to skip it all together and do the nighttime buffet or something, just, you know, whatever you can do. Also, during the daytime, as we make our stops in all of the ports of call along the way, I'm going to have a couple of things set up. They're always food related. And if you'd care to join us for that, hey, you're part of the club. Come on in. If there's something else you want to do, go do it. We're wide open. That's been very lucky for us. We've had 29 cruises over the years, and it goes very well. This one is going to be leaving town on the 10th of June. And it's a 10-night cruise, which is a little longer than most. But I'm telling you, once you're in the luxury of the Queen Elizabeth, you're gonna be happy you're there. And we're hitting a lot of little towns along the coast, and we wind up in Fairbanks. It's Anchorage. That's where we end. Okay. And then we go back. We start in. Starts with a V. Vancouver. Vancouver. We start in Vancouver, and we actually have a spare day then. And then on our way back, that's where we come back. And this is of note, even though you may not have heard anything that gives an image of what that town is Vancouver. If you can't remember that from the first time in, you'll certainly know it by the second time, because this is a town full of restaurants, especially Asian restaurants of every kind. It's really amazing. So anyway, this is going to be a really terrific cruise, I have a feeling. We have done this twice before, going to Alaska, I mean. And so we've seen what's out there. There's a lot of really interesting stuff. You will not find a place in the world that has better scenery. It's unbelievable. Maybe we might even see the Northern Lights, although you don't think so? I did once. But the problem is that it never really gets dark during these cruises. It's at least to Alaska. Anyway, if you're interested in this, go to my website, nomenu.com/Alaska. You know, all in lowercase. Nomenu.com/Alaska and all the information you want. If you just care to join us, it won't hurt you to just look at it. And maybe you might join us. My wife is going to be with me, which is right there. I mean, that's a rolling comedy show there between her and me. So you never can tell. Hope you can do it. Tom@nomenu.com is my email address if you have any questions. It's the food show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice. You know, I'm sitting here playing around with a couple of pencils. And you know how you eat sushi with chopsticks, or Chinese food for that matter. You sort of hold the two chopsticks between your forefinger and the second finger, and then you sort of move the forefinger up and down, and then you can pick things up off the plate. And after you get a while, some practice at this, you can even eat rice that way. But I was just sitting here thinking, and I had two pencils in my hand, and I was kind of making the Chinese chopstick movement with it. And I was thinking, you know, if I sat down here and I were to write something on a piece of paper, but doing it in chopstick style, I wonder if the words would come out Chinese. I'm going to try that afterwards. I'm going to do it, you know, after we're not doing the show anymore, because I don't want anybody to be disturbed or to be incredulous to such a point that they won't be able to keep their composure together. So I'll let you know how it comes out. It's the food show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, 260-6368. I get in my mailbox, seems like once a month, it might even be more often than that, they send me, who's they? Well, I better tell you. Corporate Realty, obviously it's a real estate bunch of people, local, and they have this interesting little piece of information about, well, a whole bunch of stuff about real estate, but that's out of my league. And so the main part of the card, though, shows the food from a given restaurant around town. And it's something different every time. And they cover the entire range of cooking. They do Italian. They do Asian restaurants and just all kinds of stuff. The one that they just sent me is Café des Gâtes. Café des Gâtes is a French restaurant over on Esplanade Avenue that's really great. Been there a long time, too, and every time I go there, they get a little bit better than they were the time before. But they always, in these things that they send me in the mail, they have some recipes. And here, for example, is tarte tatin. A tarte tatin is in France just what an apple pie would be to us here in America. So here's the recipe. Let's see if this rings a bell with you. 4 tablespoons of butter, 1 cup of brown sugar, 3 cups of apples sliced up. Okay, you slice them first and then you go for 3 cups. 1 rolled pâté sucré, which is another way of putting it, pastry dough. No, that's the same idea. 1 tablespoon of chopped bacon and 1/2 a cup of caramelized onions. And what you do with all this to make the tarte tatin, let's see, where are the recipes here? Oh, don't tell me it's not here. Wait, that couldn't be right. Oh, here it is. Yeah. You preheat your oven to 450 degrees. You melt the butter in a 9-inch baking dish. And then you add the brown sugar and heat it up, stirring over medium-high heat for about 3 minutes until the bubbles are big and heavy. You let it cool slightly until the sugar starts to set. And then you cover it with 1 layer of the sliced apples. You add 1 layer of bacon, and they call for, let's see how much bacon here. I saw it here a minute ago. That's probably true. Is that what it says? Have you seen this? No? Okay. So where is that? Well, anyway, the bacon calls here for, it ought to be here somewhere. Add 1 layer of bacon. Well, I guess that's just enough to cover it. Okay. Add 1 layer of bacon and caramelized onions and another layer of sliced apples. So you have sliced apples at the bottom, some bacon on top of that, and then some more caramelized onions. And you kind of squeeze the edges, but you don't want it to seal the edges. You bake it for 15 to 20 minutes until the pastry is golden brown. Then you cool it for 2 minutes, and you invert the whole thing onto a serving plate. Now, the main difference between a tarte tatin and good old American apple pie, they're basically the same. They're both ways of baking pie. Is that when you finish making a tarte tatin, the first thing you do is turn it upside down. I don't know why, but I've never seen one that wasn't. And indeed, the recipe for this thing explains that. I don't know where you can get these, or if you can, if they'll let you use it for something. But anyway, they send them to me every month or so, and these are always good, really interesting recipes. I thought that one would be a good one. They also have recipes here for Boudin Noir and Pinot Noir Bordelaise. And what they want you to do is to sear some boudins, and you make a sauce out of Pinot Noir, red wine. Interesting. 260-6368. 260-6368. Call me. Let's talk about where you've been eating lately and find out where you'd like to go or anything like that. Today in 1990, Campbell's produced the 20 billionth can of tomato soup. I wonder what they're up to by now. That was its original product. That was the first thing they ever made, Campbell's. Did that. They hardly have to tell you what that is. Canned tomato soup is more useful as an additive than on its own, I think. When I want to make tomato soup, tomato bisque, I always do it with fresh tomatoes. In fact, that's what usually gets me to do it in the first place. When you add it to beef broth along with some crushed canned tomatoes, it makes a better soup than just eating the whole tomatoes alone. So anyway, that was something today in 1990. There's an interesting story about a radio guy who was always accused of having the greatest voice in radio, and it was pretty darn good. The guy's name was Del Sharbat, and I would try to imitate him if I could get my voice down that low. It was like talking to somebody in an elevator shaft. Anyway, he was the announcer for a radio program that was hosted, the sponsor was Campbell's, and Del Sharbat stood out there one day and said, good. And everybody looked at one another and said, that's a great line. And they attached it to everything that Campbell's Soup does, even to this day. That was back in the 30s and 40s that happened. And they're still calling it good. Well, who could blame them? Anybody eat Campbell's Soup anymore? I bet you a lot of people do. I remember, you know, my mother, who you've heard me talk about before, my mother was really a good cook, really a terrific cook. And she made this wonderful vegetable soup with, she used beef stock and miscellaneous chunks of this and that in there, but also a lot of vegetables. And it was delicious. And every now and then, especially when the weather is like it is today, when it's cold outside, I like taking some brisket. That's the best thing to make it with. Or oxtail. Oxtail makes great soups, too. And we get it going in the pan there for a while, and then she would put it out there, and we all loved it. But I guess it was on the days when she was too busy, because she worked pretty hard. She would just give us Campbell's vegetable soup. As a matter of fact, she'd usually give us Campbell's vegetarian vegetable soup, which might make you think, well, shouldn't vegetable soup be vegetarian by definition? Well, one might think that, but it wasn't. They made their vegetable soup with not just was it beef, but it was made with tripe back in the old days. I don't think it is anymore. But that was how the first time I tasted tripe, you know, this was a kind of a bold step for me. Okay, let's see what this tastes like. So I ate some tripe, some beef tripe. And the first thing that hit me was, this tastes like my mother's vegetable soup, the canned stuff. And indeed, that's where that came from. Well, to some degree, anyway. I wonder if they have that original formula around anywhere. If I had a choice between just plain old vegetable soup or, heaven help us, vegetarian vegetable soup, I think I'd go for the one that had the tripe in it. That had a uniquely delicious taste. It was good. What do you think, Del?
Del Sharbet.
No, I can't possibly do him. Forget about it. This is The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, and it's great to be here with you talking about eating. And if you have anything to talk about, just go ahead and call us. Please never get the idea in your mind that what you have to say is not maybe good enough to go on a radio show. Forget it. Call us. Believe me, you will be more than welcomed, and it'd be great to have you on our program. So would you? 260-6368. We're about a minute and a half away from the news from CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. And then we'll be back with more of The Food Show. So stay tuned. Plenty of that coming down. Another whole hour of it. And what else do we have to talk about? Oh, yeah, I want you to tell me where I should go tonight. And here's what I'm aiming for. I want to go to a restaurant that I either have not been to at all, or one that I have not been to in a long time. And my wife is always on top of me, not literally, but to get me to find those restaurants and go to those so I can have more to write about. Fair enough. She keeps me straight. And we'll see. So you got any ideas about that? Where should I eat later today? Stay tuned.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.